All right. All things for our good. Romans 8, 28 and 29. These are good verses. And they'll go throughout the lesson. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." And so that verse is going to carry on through the whole lesson today. And we just want to mention that God, on the overview, God allows every circumstance or trial in His Christian, in His children's lives. I guess, you know, it's good to be a child, isn't it, when you're 80 years old? But that's what we are as far as the Lord's concerned. And the purpose of conforming us to Christ. We never get too old to become a better Christian. Let me say it again. We never get too old to become a better Christian. And so we need to do the very best we can every day to be what we ought to be. In every situation, we see a greater picture. God sees the picture better than we can see. But He wants us to be His child. Although we do not always understand why God allows certain things to happen to our lives or in our lives, we can still trust God, and He will give us all things for our good. So we've, down through the weeks, have looked at these lessons and verses, and they're all given so that our lives might be better as far as being a Christian is concerned. And so, by the way of introduction, today's lesson is primarily on those verses that we quoted, Romans 8, 28, and 29. And we could call these verses the A to Z of the Christian life. So I'm going to give you something that's not in your book, and it's really good, I thought. So I will read it to you, and then I may even make a copy of it so you can have it. It's kind of a neat deal. But the ABCs of Christianity, you using Romans 8, 28 and 29 as the key verse. So here we go. A, attitude of hope. B, boldness to face the battle. C, courage to do what's right. D, defense against the devil's attacks. E, encouragement during trials. F, focus on the eternal. G, glory to give God. H, help in time of need. J, joy through all circumstances. K, knowledge in the darkness of what God's trying to do. L, love for God. M, ministry for others. N, nutrition in the famine of blessing to feed us. O, offering of praise. P, purpose for our lives. Q, quality for our lives. R, rejoicing in suffering. S, strength to not fail. T, testimony to others. U, understanding. V, victory in the valley. W, wealth as children. X, X-ray vision into why God is doing something. I guess it is a word, X-ray. Okay. Y, yieldedness to His will, knowing that all things work together for good. And Z, zeal to service. I thought that was one of the neatest things I've heard of or read over the time that I've been doing anything. So I typed it out and put it in my notes. During our lowest valleys and highest victories, the passages that we're going to be studying here, Romans 8, 28 and 29, is the Mount Everest for the believer in Christ. So if you've ever been to Mount Everest, you know what we're talking about this morning. So when we were experiencing success in our lives, these verses remind us of how we reach the mountaintop. We always have down times, but it's a wonderful thing to know that we can be on the mountaintop too with the Lord. When we're going through trials, these verses teach us that all our circumstances will work together ultimately for good. Wherever we are at this point in our lives, there's something that we can learn from this passage. Ultimately, our good is God's purpose. That's what God wants us to be, the very best we can possibly be. Everything He allows into our lives is for His purpose, the conforming us to Christ. All things for our good. Now we have the first point one, that was all introduction, is His people. If you have a blank line there, it's people. We have to realize that this verse means it's meant for God's children. It's meant for the saved, God's people. They're not God's children unless they have put their faith and trust in Him. It is important to understand and especially realize that we are blessed and privileged people because we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We are God's saved children. And that goes back to our original verse as well, again, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And so under this topic of His people, I have number A. This verse is not for the unsaved. This verse is not for the unsaved. So this verse is not understood by the unsaved. When they go through trials, they cannot turn to a verse in the Bible that will help them unless they have a desire to put Christ in their life. Notice what Jesus said about Judas in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 24. It says, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of Him, but woe unto the man, that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." The Bible teaches us in Matthew, that was Matthew 26 and 24, but all things didn't work together for Judas Iscariot. He betrayed Christ and he suffered for it. He was in the elite at one time, but he never put his faith and trust in Christ. And he used his popularity, I guess you would say, to be the one to see that Christ was crucified. What a terrible thought that is. Unsaved people need a clear presentation of the gospel. They must understand that Jesus died on the cross for them, for us and for them, and they must accept Him as their personal Lord and Savior. And then their life will work. All things will work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. And so note what Jesus said at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. It's in your little book there. Bye-bye. We had some company looking through the window there. But he'll go home and eat his breakfast, okay, I guess. But it says here, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so those verses really stand out. And so we must put our faith and trust in Him and stand out for Him. And then point number B is this is for the saved. It's for those who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so there's an illustration here. I turned over to the wrong page. I'm getting too far ahead of myself. Okay. This verse, I said, was not for the unsaved, but Jesus talked about Judas and so forth. Now, all things didn't work together for him, so we hope that all things work together for us, because it can if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If a friend hasn't settled the question of salvation, now's the time to try to win them to Christ or tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring them to church if we possibly can. Every one of us should have a burden for someone. I meet people a lot and talk to them, and it's been a good ministry down through the years, but certainly we could have won more. I think we should do our very best to try to be an example of the believer and so forth. So this verse is for the saved. This verse is for the saved. There's an illustration that goes along with that, and it's about warm chocolate chip cookies. I got the book that has that in there, and that's pretty neat, isn't it? But here's the illustration. Flour, raw eggs, baking soda, all go in to make chocolate chip cookies. They're very good. But how would you like to just eat the ingredients instead of putting them in the oven? Wouldn't taste too hot, would it? It wouldn't taste hot at all, but it wouldn't taste good. But you mix all that stuff up together and you make some cookies and put them in the oven when they come out, and you smell those chocolate chip cookies, you think you're going to eat one, but it ends up at eating two or three, whatever the case might be. Now, I can't have them unless they're made out of, they can't have sugar in them if I have anything to do with it. But anyway, but they really taste good. I can remember how they used to taste. Now, God is working on us. He's wanting us to go into the furnace of being a better Christian. And He wants to conform us to His Son. The Bible said, to them who are called according to His purpose. His purpose. Not our purpose, but His purpose. And then we want you to notice also His promise. If we are saved, we can claim Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. As we think about it, that's the confidence that we have in the Lord that will fulfill our lives to please Him, His promise. And so, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So He had it all figured out before anything ever took place. And then we have the certainty of its outcome in Romans 8:28 again. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Is that Romans 8:28? That's not Romans 8:28. Let me get it here. Romans 8:28. I thought that I had it down. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. That's right. It is right. And so there's the certainty of His outcome. And we know. Sometimes we break a promise to a friend and we intend to get things right and have good intentions, but we just don't ever get around to it. That's, you know what around to it is, don't you? We never get around to it. But we ought to get around to it because we need to, if we have promised someone something, then we ought to go through with the promise. And if we can't go through with the promise because of circumstances, then we need to go talk to those people or whoever they are, our friends. And it's said in the little book here that it was a friend. And so we need to be the kind of a friend that a friend ought to be and follow through with it. God never forgets His promises to us. God cannot lie. He can't lie. We can lie. We can say we're not going to lie. We can say, oh, I've never lied. And you're lying right then when you say that. Because all of us lie sometimes. And we shouldn't. But we know that one of these days, if we're saved, when we go to heaven, we won't lie anymore. There won't be any lies in heaven. But it's a wonderful thing to know that God's on the throne. And in 2 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56, it's the certainty of its outcome, the promise. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. So the word promise is used many, many times there in that particular verse. And it's because God made a promise. God keeps His promise. We can always know that. God keeps His promises. And as a Christian, we ought to try to keep our promises. We ought to be careful. When we make a promise, we ought to already know in our mind and in our heart, well, if we're going to make a promise, we're going to keep that promise. Now, sometimes circumstances come along and things happen, but we ought to confess those or do whatever we have to do with it. But a lot of people make promises knowing when they make the promise they're not going to keep the promise. And that's a bad way to be. That's a bad way to feel. That's not the way to live. It's curriculum as well. Curriculum, that's B. God takes us through the process of reforming us and purifying us and conforming us to the image of His Son. It takes a lot of steps through many kinds of trials to be what God would have us to be. It could be a financial problem that we have, and we have to ask God for help and get through that. It could be a marital problem that we need help with and counseling with. It could be a relational problem. You know, you would think that if a family is joined together by being born into the same family, that it ought to be a blessed time all the time. But you know, there are brothers and their sisters and their family members and their children that won't even speak to one another. And, you know, that's not a good thing. But we need to realize that God is on the throne and He will help us through all these things, physical problems. There are people who get up in the morning and can't hardly walk for an hour, or maybe they can't get up at all, or just emotional problems. Things just bother us, and instead of turning them over to the Lord, we try to take care of them ourselves, and it gets us in trouble. But remember this, but we can know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. And that's the thing we need to claim. God never abandons us. We abandon Him sometime, but God never abandons us. He sees us wherever we are and is working in our life for good. God always wants to do good for us. He's a good God. He's a wonderful God. And He's given us a wonderful Savior. And He answers our prayers if we pray in earnest. And we need to remember that we pray because He wants us to pray to Him. You know, I think about it a lot. Think about all the people that are praying to God at any given moment, and He can hear and answer every one of them. Now, have you ever been in a group where everybody was talking at the same time? Could you understand all of it? Probably couldn't stand any of it. God understands everything because He's God. He made us. And He wants us to communicate with Him. And so that's what we do when we pray. We don't just pray. We're not supposed to just pray when we're in trouble. Lord, get me out of this trouble. Get me out of this situation. If that's the only time we pray, He may be too busy to hear us. Now, I don't think He is, really. But I'm saying that we ought to pray on a daily basis. And so sometimes an hourly basis, depends on the circumstances. I don't like that word, circumstances. Sometimes circumstances just blow you away almost. But we need to realize that. God never abandons us. He sees us wherever we are, whatever we're doing, and our life together for good is with Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. And then we have a point number C, conformity as its goal. Conformity as its goal. The goal is to conform us to the image of Christ. Jesus Christ came down to this world so He could save us. But He also came down so He could teach us how to live and how to be the kind of believer we ought to be. God allows us to go through trials. We're not in heaven yet. But most of us just need to just conform to Christ. We just need to do what He wants us to do. And if we do something and we know it's wrong, get it taken care of right away. You know, God will answer prayer. Don't do something bad on purpose, knowing that God will forgive you for it, because that's not a good idea. We're going to have rewards when we get to heaven if we've been the kind of Christian we ought to be. But if we've deliberately sinned against God and then ask His forgiveness, He'll forgive us, but we're not going to have the rewards that we're supposed to have when we get in His presence. And we'll wonder why. Well, we'll find out by then. And then look at number three, His purpose. Whatever God allows us to go through, He has a purpose for it. Even when we don't always understand, we must live by faith. We have to live by faith because that's God's plan. God's program is faith. And we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord, and then we need to put our faith in His work for us. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So God has given us these instructions in the Word of God. And so we need to realize that when we fully understand that God knows better than we know and that His purpose is for our good, His purpose will be our filter, our focus, and our faith. Those three things, filter, focus, and faith. That's what they are right here, A, B, and C. And our filter. When we're totally committed to God, God's purpose for our lives, it affects all of our decisions. All of our decisions are made when we commit our life to the Lord, commit our life to Him. God has a perfect will of God for us. And He wants us to do the right thing. He didn't want us to do the wrong thing and then repent and then do the right thing. He wants us to do the right thing. We don't have to repent for doing the wrong thing. And we need to think about that. Sometimes we do things and we don't even think before we do them. We'll say something to somebody and we won't even think about what we're going to say when we say it. And then we've hurt that person or we've said something we shouldn't say And then we have to repent and ask God to forgive us. Well, He will. But the person we've hurt sometimes in something we might say or do, they're going to have a problem with us. But we need to confess our sins one to another. It also affects, our filter also affects our future circumstances and God's plans for our life. And there again in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Let's read that verse again because it's the main thing of the lesson. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. That means predetermined before we was ever born. To be conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So thank God for Romans 8:28. There was an illustration in our manual, and I think it goes along with this particular topic of our filter. And here, this is pretty good. It said, I don't know who wrote it or who invented it, but it says, dirty water that goes through a clean filter comes out clean. That's pretty good, isn't it? Dirty water that goes through a clean filter comes out clean. We ought to be clean. Well, our life ought to be clean. I'm not talking just about taking a bath. I'm talking about cleaning out your mouth, whatever it might be. Now, I know people in here, I don't know of anybody in this room that swears and tells dirty jokes and stories and all that kind of stuff. And if you do, just you and the Lord know about it. But anyway, what I'm simply saying is God wants us to be clean vessels. A Christian that is a clean vessel can have an influence on somebody that's not. Let me say it again. A person who is a clean vessel can do something with someone to get them saved that is not. But if someone uses God's name in vain out in the public and they listen to the dirty stories and they tell them and they do things that they shouldn't be doing and then they try to win a friend to Christ because they got saved somewhere back a few years ago or whatever the case might be, there it's very likely that they will never win their friend to Christ. We need to be the very best we can possibly be for Him. And then, again, we see our focus. God's purpose conforms us to Christ, and that's our focus, to be more like Christ. And, that's simple. We just have to let God do it through us. Life is not about what we achieve. Life is not about what we achieve, but it's more about what we become, who we are, and how we're going to act and react. It's not easy. You get out in the world and you hear all the dirty stories and you hear all the angry people and all the things that go on. But you in your heart know that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just ask His forgiveness and follow His precepts, and people will respond to you when you talk to them about the Savior. And then our faith. Christ's purpose becomes our faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He's God, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And certainly that's what God does. He seeks us, and we should seek Him. And we need to do everything we possibly can to be what God would have us to be. And so, verse Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let's just break that verse down. For I know, God knows everything, doesn't He? We can't put anything over on God, and we shouldn't try. For I know. Now hear what He knows. He knows the thoughts that I think toward you. Why would He have thoughts toward us? Because He knows where we're going, knows what we're doing, and knows how we do it. For I know that the thoughts that I think toward you. God knows everything, and it's perfect. There isn't any mistakes about it. Sometimes we misrepresent someone, and we misunderstand what they've said or whatever it might be. That isn't true with God. God knows everything exactly about us, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. He knows whether we're peaceful or evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, God wants us to be right. He wants us to have thoughts of peace, not evil, and He wants us to have the right kind of an end. When we get to Him, He wants us to be like Him. And so that's a wonderful thing. And in conclusion, trials only make us strong. When we go through a trial, we turn it over to the Lord and do what we know He would have us to do and be what we ought to be. And apologize to someone to get it off of our heart if we've done something or said something, whatever the case might be. But these trials make us strong, make us strong as we can possibly be. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 31, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." That's a capital F. And that means the Heavenly Father. You know, we see a flock of birds flying when we're traveling and so forth. And they got a leader out here, and then they're all following. To me, that's a neat thing. And you just think that God has created them and given them the ability. I don't know if they have a brain or not. They can speak bird language, I think, because, well, you get a bunch of them in a tree, you can hear them, they singing. And they ain't off key either. The word ain't in very good, but anyway. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Without your Father. That's the Heavenly Father. He's made them. I'll tell you what, they can soar. They can soar high. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You ever tried to count the hairs on your head? Go home and try it sometime. The only way I know you could learn how would be to pull them all out one at a time and then count them. But as long as they're still there, I don't think you can count them. I mean, now there's some people that can count them, but I guess. But anyway, God knows us. That's what it's saying. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. We belong to God. If God knows all about the birds and the bees, as far as that goes, all the animals, all the creatures that God made, and He knows about us. Sometimes we think we can hide from God. We can't. The very hairs of our head are even numbered. And then it says in verse 31, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And He's talking about sparrows in verse 29. And then down here in verse 31 says, "Fear not, ye are of more value than many sparrows." I think that's a pretty good thing. That's a neat thing. And so anyway, so we studied Romans 8:28, and that's of course for the saved people. Unsaved people don't qualify, but they can if they trust Christ as their personal Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for all the good things You share with us in the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be what we ought to be and pray more and read Your Bible more and witness more and all the things that we can do to be pleasing in Your sight. Bless each one that's gathered here today and those that couldn't come, Lord, help them that they might be back soon. Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.